how many of us believe today that we have the best dad in the whole world? How many of us really believe that with everything inside? Absolutely no holding back in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing at all that would hinder that belief from really looking like something, from really taking shape, from really, really manifesting something great in our life. When we belong to the great I am, when he lives on the inside of us, there is nothing, nothing impossible for the Lord to accomplish through us and in us ever. Because he is the great I am. And there's something inside of us that just resonates with those words. Great I am. You are the great I am. You are the great I am. If we meditate, focus on his face, focus on him, everything else falls into place. There isn't anything out of order with the Lord. There isn't anything out of place in any way, shape, or form. No sickness can stay. No financial problems can bring ruin to us. It doesn't work that way. The great I am is abundance and has the storehouses of heaven available to us. And that's the blessing of being part of the great I am. Lord, we just lift up our voices right now to you, the great I am. Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. Our bodies might not be feeling so well. Our minds might be scattered. But we call them into alignment with the great I am right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're positioned right now for heavenly outpouring. We're positioned right now for greatness to manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you're saying that on earth as it is in heaven belongs to us. That's our portion. That's what you say is reality. That's the reality of our lives. The supernatural reality of the world that you told us to occupy and to bring into the kingdom of God. Lord says we're not of the world, but we're in it. So we say, Lord, that with your supernatural manifest presence, Lord, we will go forth. We will go forth as fireballs here in this place and to the nations. Thank you, Lord. We lift up our voices to worship you with that in mind. Saints, let's just rejoice right now. Rejoice that we belong in the family of God. That we belong to the great I am, the greatest Father, the only true and lasting Father. Hallelujah.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, no, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us. We are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And how he loves.
Holy One, just saturate us right now with this amazing love. With this amazing, incredible love. Just allow the Lord's love just to penetrate right now. Just wash right over you right now. Just wash right over you. I just have a picture of this deluge of water just coming down and washing us, washing us, washing us with the love of the great Father, great I Am. When we think about this, when we meditate on this, when we take time, there will be a response. And that response is a holy yes. That response is, yes, Lord, more of your love, more of your revelation, more of who you are. That results in the release of his power in our life. Awaken us even deeper today, the Lord. Awaken us into those places. Awaken us to that love. We are saturated by you. By your holy goodness, by your holy presence, by your holiness. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Let's just thank him. Let's just thank Papa. He is Papa. Some of us can't relate to a Papa on this earth that we could affectionately call Papa. But our Papa in heaven is absolutely perfect and beautiful. And he transcends any understanding of any earthly relationship. So, Papa, we lift our voices to you. We lift our voices, oh, Abba. Oh, Papa, we love you. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just keep moving wave after wave after wave of the presence of the Holy One is in this place. Angels are here ushering in that presence. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive right now. We're not too busy. We're receiving. Touch us in those places. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord.
We love you.
Yes, Lord.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I love you.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you. I love you. Daddy, Daddy, Papa, we love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, Abba, Daddy, Papa, we
love you. Because you first loved me. Still a sinner, yet you love me first.
Thank you, Lord. I just have a picture of someone, I believe it's the right leg. You've really had a problem for whatever reason in your right leg, maybe in the knee. I'm seeing a right leg bending like this. Is there anybody that has been struggling with anything in their legs? Might be the left leg, might have been turned around. Any kind of pain in your leg? You can keep standing. We're still worshiping. Anybody have any kind of ailment, any kind of blood disorder? Nadia? You? Not a blood disorder. Problem in your right leg? Yeah? It's the left one? Maybe it was turned around. I saw right from my vision, so maybe it's you. Let's just move it like this, Nadia. Yeah. 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 There's a little dancer here. Yeah? Does it feel any better? Yeah? Come here. Come here, sweetie. How long has it been hurting like that?
Just today.
Just today. How's it feel right now? Feel better? That's our good Papa. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Has anyone been to the doctor and they've had, I hear the word spleen and kidney. Has anybody had any problems diagnosed or anything that they thought, either from the doctor, a diagnosis from the doctor, or you've just heard the thought, or you've had the thought, or you've been told that you've had any problems in the spleen or your kidneys in any way? Any kind of kidney issue? Come on up. Is there anybody? Hey, just come on up. Come on up, Gina. Okay. He has what, renal failure? End-stage renal failure. Okay, your dad and Gina. Anybody else? How's that leg feeling?
Feeling better.
Can you bend it a little bit more? Yeah. Come on up, Gina, for more. Yeah. Standing in proxy for a cousin who's diagnosed with a blood disorder in that area. Okay. Anybody having any, been having any problems? We're also going to be praying for Pastor Dewa, who is having surgery tomorrow, actually, on his urethra in southern India. He's the head with his wife of our international children's home, Frontline Children's Home of our children's center there. So is there anybody else? Now, if you have another ailment or another problem, another sickness or another feeling, just enter into this for yourself as well. So, Father, we just thank you right now. You love to touch us and those we love. You are so intentional about that. We just thank you right now, Lord God, that you are moving in this place. You're making yourself known. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the great release. Thank you for the healings that have taken place in this house over the years. Thank you for what you've done in recent days and weeks. Thank you that you're increasing our healing right now. Thank you, Lord, for touching the ones who are standing in the gap for their loved ones. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching us, Lord. Thank you that your power is here because your presence is here. Thank you, Lord, that your power to heal is here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anybody feeling better who was feeling sickly today in the church? You just didn't come up. Your name, the idea was not for you to come up necessarily. Anybody feeling stronger, better right now? I'm not sure who was all feeling sick, if anybody else. Mandy, you feeling any better? I can't hear you, Mandy. You want to come up?
Last week I had a cold, and the cold went away, praise God, and I believe I was healed. And last night it came back again really strongly, and I had a really hard time sleeping last night. I woke up in the morning. This morning I was at home in Cleveland, and I was nauseated in my throat. I couldn't talk very well and everything. And so I'm driving here and thinking I really won't be able to sing a whole lot. And when I came in and entered into worship, I was just totally able to sing and had a voice, and my throat felt better, and it was really amazing.
Thank you. The Lord cares about these things. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I just want to tell you that we've been praying for little Brady, and little Brady had tongue cancer, 4 years old, nephew of Ann and Tony, the son of their niece, rather. So nephew, I guess. 4-year-old Brady had tongue cancer this past week. The doctors diagnosed it as a rare form. There's 13 people in the United States who have been diagnosed with this type of tongue cancer. And I just found out yesterday as we were praying on Tuesday night for him, because the problem that he had, the cancer had grown from a raspberry size to a golf ball size on his little tongue. And there was a removal of that tongue that was in process in the doctor's minds, 4 years old. So we went after it and really prayed over it on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I got the report. It was amazing that the golf ball-sized tumor just shrunk down, disintegrated down to nothing, and was a pink blob on his tongue. That's amazing. Come on. God, come on. That's not normal. That's not normal. That's supernatural. Doctors didn't know what to do with that. So now my understanding from last night is they want to do surgery on whatever cancer could be remaining there tomorrow for little Brady. Now, he's had a big miracle, wouldn't you say? But the doctors are saying that with that cancer, there could be a removal of up to 2/3 of that instrument of his tongue. We don't want that, do we?
No.
I mean, that's just not on my watch. What about you?
No.
So we're going to pray right now. Dismiss the children for little Brady. And we're going to believe God, aren't we? Do we believe the great I am is the great I am? Do we believe together that Jesus is our healer?
Yes.
Do we believe that he supersedes any type of medical attention? Okay, are we against medical attention? No. We think it's great. We love doctors, don't we, Josh? Thank God for doctors. But Father, we're just believing right now that you're going to continue this miraculous work for little Brady. And that tomorrow, Lord God, when the rest of that cancer is removed, if even there is a need, in Jesus' name, Lord, that tongue will remain in Jesus' name, that little one will grow up to be a great evangelist, speaking and declaring the wondrous deeds of his mighty God. Thank you, Lord, that you guide the hands of the surgeons. Thank you, Lord, that as we stand and declare a cancer-free zone in Ohio, in the United States, but first in our place, in our region, in Jesus' name, we expect to see results because of love. So we put a loving demand on the anointing, and we thank you, angels, that you surround that little guy. You're continuing to do that, and we're believing, Lord, for a great, amazing outpouring tomorrow, in Jesus' name, we stand in the gap for him now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you that cancer is cursed in the name of Jesus Christ. And we release the abundance of heaven, the abundance of healing, and the abundance of life in Jesus' name. Take that for yourself and your loved ones as well, who are struggling with cancer. That's a mighty prayer. And we've all come together with that. With that in mind, we invite you to come out for the watch of the Lord this week. We have fasting and prayer privilege this week together. We can fast and pray any moment, but when we pray and stand together, mighty things happen. We've seen so many miracles, so many deliverances, so many releases out of captivity. I'm so excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. So it's 9 o'clock Friday night to 5 a.m. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your children. Come on out if you're able and willing and desirous. Oh, wow. And I believe fasting, you know, start anytime you want, if you'd like. But I corporately, we've been calling that, I believe it was Tuesday night after fire and wind. So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How fun is that? Come on. And my suggestion to you, my clear, clear, holy suggestion is to re-listen to Awakened to Power, which is, I think, 2 weeks ago as a podcast. Listen to that. Be stirred up again. Some of you went to wildfire, and it was wild, and your fireballs for the Lord. Some of you didn't get to go. Whether you did or you didn't, my suggestion is go and re-listen to that. If you weren't here, go and listen to it at our website. Awaken to Power before fasting day. And come on, let's just go after this. Let's just see and absolutely walk in the results of what God says can happen to us with our atomic supernatural warfare. And then finally, those of you who were not part of or did not purchase or didn't know it was able to be had, our Relentless Pursuit conference that we had here, that was amazing. I was intoxicated in the spirit just rewatching the extended version, thank you, Jesus, of the first message. But this is an amazing conference that released so many kingdom things for your life, the life of this body and beyond. So I encourage you to purchase this. See Carly. Carly's right up here in the front. Purchase these. There's CD and DVD. My preference is DVD because you watch people getting wrecked by God. Ha! And the ministers who were there also being wrecked by God and such. So that would be my encouragement. So talk to Carly today and say, you know, if you say, I can't afford it, the Lord will make a way. He really will. How many people would want to have their own copy of the DVD and the CD? Who really would like that? Their own copy. You'd just like, man, God, I'd like to have that in my file so I can have other people, let other people listen to it or watch it. Who would really enjoy having that? Yeah? Put your name down on a list, and Carly will make sure that happens somehow. Just want to tell you. And one quick update. With our group that we've been associated with in Southeast Asia, 26 children were rescued out of a most desperate situation. I'm already in communication to see how much of this I can share because we were given a newsletter and asked to not share it yet. So I'm not sure yet. Except I can tell you that five of these 26 little children experienced the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. And I saw, and the pictures are there of some of them. And I do want to tell you that this was an undercover, very covert operation. And the supernatural way that God moved will just make you cry when you hear the results and you hear the story, which I'm hoping to be able to share at the Watch of the Lord on Friday night. But I will tell you one thing, that one mother, okay, watched her husband be, and because there are little children in here, watched her husband be terminated in the most graphic way with all the men in the village, every man, and every woman and child experienced the ultimate opposite of that. They're still living. And all of the children were taken and removed. So when this other undercover situation took place, a missionary that is associated with the group we're part of, a missionary talked with the mother. And finally the mother was able through tears to say, "My three little girls, they're gone." After the whole village was burned down. After she was physically subjected to the worst of the worst. And so one of the three is part of this rescue operation. There are still two left, but there are 26 children who are now free. So let me tell you, it's time for us to get over ourselves. It's time for us to rise up. Time for us to stop wondering, is God saying this? Is God saying that? Just to step in and say, "God, I'm here. I'm listening because you've already spoken." Strong word, but take it for yourself. It's time. There's a whole lot we can be doing when our focus is really on, "I've got a big, big daddy." Amen? So I hope to see you Friday. God bless you. Pastor Bill has an amazing message, I'm sure. Children are released to kingdom land. Amen.
Hints. Yeah, you got to go right now to kingdom land. Okay. All right, tell Judah.
You know, I find myself often saying that to people I meet for the first time. I'll talk to them for a little while and get to know them a little bit, and then I leave them with a blessing. I don't think that that's a minor thing. When we, out of the Spirit of God, bless somebody. So why don't you just reach to someone today and tell them, "Bless you. The love of the Lord on you." Give them a sincere, heartfelt blessing. So let me get this straight. I walk up here and there's solemn faces. I tell you to bless someone beside you and you're smiling and happy and joyful. What does that say? That was a good idea. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, that could be a heavy message, and it could be as quiet as it is right now. But that's just what I'd like to happen today. It's the goal that the Word of God, living and active, comes and separates some of the things so that we can see clearer. We'll know him better, the one, what does it say? With whom we have to do. The one with whom we have to do. What that means is we're supposed to be closely related to him. So today you're going to hear some things that you've heard before, and you'll probably hear them again. But your ears cannot be dull. Your spirit has to rise up, grab a hold of it, and hang on to it so it doesn't slip through your fingers. Fair enough? That's my introduction to prayer. Father, we thank you, God. We need you to do that. Our spirit is so weak without you. But with you, we can grasp on to the deepest spiritual truths and make them our own, and make you the love of our life. Thank you, Father, that you can do that in us when we're willing. All of us are weak. Weak. But when we're willing, the joy comes and we're strong, strong, strong in you. I pray you would rise up, Holy Spirit, inside of us. Grab hold of the truths that you are sharing from this end of the auditorium. Let all the truths be caught on that end of the auditorium as well. From Holy Spirit to Holy Spirit, inside of each person here, wrapped around our own spirits. We need you that close, and we need the Word of God that much. It's life to us. It's life to us. It's abundant life. It's eternal life. It's a changed life inside of us, Lord. Powerful. 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 We're weak on our own. Powerful in you. Thank you, God. Accomplish even greater in each of us. In Jesus. Amen. Some of you have had moments where everything changed in your life. Let those run through your spirit right now. When was that moment when everything changed in your life? Well, certainly when you were born into this world, that was a big change. You know, as I see each of the grandchildren come into being, 8 grandchildren now, 7 grandsons, 1 mighty daughter of the Lord that can probably whip all 7 grandsons, but we won't tell them. As I see them coming to the world, what a miracle it is. And they've passed from one world into another world just short out for the dad and parents. For the mother, it may not seem like a few short hours. We could have a few testify, and one could testify, but a lot of pain in childbirth. But the child from God's creation in the womb to they attach themselves to that same God that created them in the womb. We have that today. We can have a moment in time here where it's absolutely incredible. or whatever. It looks like I'm speaking into this, but actually I'm speaking into this. So is this just another service for you? Is the point, is this just another, well, I'm here, I made it, phew, kind of tired, kind of worn out, it was a rough week. Amazing how many people I say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? Oh, it was a rough week. Talk to him the next week. Oh, man. Oh, whew. Let me tell you, it was a rough, rough week. I don't know. Let me just declare, every week's going to be rough. Then we don't have to talk about it anymore. Every week's going to be rough. But on the other hand, we have a hope that goes deeper, gets under it, pushes it out of our lives. We want that. Or we get under the pile of another rough week. And another rough week piled onto the other rough weeks. Someone should calculate how many rough weeks there are in a lifetime. How many weeks are there in a lifetime? How many rough weeks? Pretty much the same amount. But every one of them can be redeemed, can be turned around. Isn't that true? You know, the people that come up to me and say it was a rough week, but, wow, whoa, hey, ho! You know, that kind of lifts me up. When someone can say that they've overcome their rough week. I don't know where that came from. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Of course, I say that every time. Okay, you know, Facebook is a wonderful tool at times, isn't it? At times. It is. This was recently written on Facebook by someone in attendance today. I think my whole or most of my experience at Frontline can be summarized in two questions. Have you asked Holy Spirit? What does Holy Spirit have to say about that? And, now that's a slash between the two, so that's one question. I like that, a doubling up. Here's the second question. What does that look like? Laugh out loud. Funny, but very true. And she goes on to thank Pastor Mary Pat and myself, tell us how awesome we are. Should I go on? So, have you asked Holy Spirit, and does Holy Spirit, what does Holy Spirit have to say about that? And what does that look like? What does love look like? What does revival look like? What does personal renewal look like? What does forgiveness look like? You could go on and on and on and on and on forever. It's kind of a summary of all of Frontline in just two questions. Why are we meeting today? We can be summarized in a couple of questions. Well, let me even summarize something more for you. The Bible. Let's summarize the Bible. Old Testament. And we could preach the Old Testament. Well, it might take us a while here to get through it. How about we summarize it? You can't do it in your strength. Ten Commandments clearly put out there. Tablets. Engraved in tablets by the very finger of God. They couldn't keep those, so they added more. Can't keep 10, so let's make hundreds, thousands. So we can't keep those. Feeling really good about it. Thank you. More rules, more regulations. And you can't keep it. What a wonderful message the Old Testament has for us. New Testament. So you could say law for the Old Testament. New Testament. Grace. Two commands. It's all we need. New Testament summarized. Love the Lord God with, depending on your translation, it comes out a couple of different ways, all right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Some of you are really going to love your neighbors because you really love yourself. It's pretty evident. Let's go back to Facebook. All the new outfits. Come on your status there. Every new outfit you look good in, it's shown on Facebook. Every new hairstyle. I don't bother. But you're going to love your neighbor as yourself? Wow. What if you really loved yourself? You forgave yourself. Your neighbor's really going to benefit. Wow. But just two commands summarize the whole New Testament. Simple. Why are we complicating everything? The same way with kingdoms. You know, kingdom of darkness. Hey, the good news is those of us that know Jesus have been transferred. We've transferred our citizenship into a new kingdom. Amen? That was another summary of, say, the writings of Paul. He took all that Jesus taught and said, okay, let me describe more about what it looks like on a practical level to live out the kingdom. Right? That's what that was all about. How do you live out the new kingdom that you're in? But he also had to talk to those that were building their own little kingdom constantly. To the churches, the people in the churches that were building their own little kingdom using some of what they knew about God to do that. You know, that's why we still preach things from Paul today, because even though I think from the front here, we've made it very clear, we really believe this stuff. There are still people building their own little kingdoms here. Right here in this room. Some as a lifestyle. Some, you know, make a mistake. Oops, what was I thinking? And they come over here to God's true kingdom again. They kind of stray over here. Oh, I don't want to do that. Back over to God's kingdom. Phew. Ah. Father's love. Yeah. Oh, his presence. His power's over here. Rather than straying over here where not much good happens. And the person's miserable because they know they should be over there. We're talking about Christians over here, right? Yeah? Years ago, you know, Campus Crusade or one of those groups put out a little drawing. They had a little throne and they had an S on the throne that was self. And that would be over here. You're building your own little kingdom. And they had a cross on the throne. That's Jesus. Aha! That's when you're over here and allowing, you're building the kingdom of God. You know, there is no in between here, is there? Really. You're either headed towards building your own little kingdom. Hoo-hoo-hoo! Or you're over here going, oh, why would I ever want to be over there? I don't hear you. Thank you. Now I know you're alive. So on Facebook, one of my posts went something like this. And you know, the cool thing about this is when I receive something from God, I will sometimes write something on Facebook. And you know what I get for it? A couple of likes. Think about it. Sometimes as many as 13 or 14 likes. A couple of comments. You know, why would you listen to me this morning? Maybe I'm only getting like 3 likes. I should put a chart up here or a screen or put it up there and people could push a little button, like, like. But it'd be a little discouraging for me because I look out and you're all looking like you're paying attention and, oh yes, I'm drinking this in, Pastor Bill. Oh, this is revelation. Oh. You might even say something after the message. But if I'm really speaking for God, not myself, not to make Pastor Bill look better on his Facebook page, but if I'm really caring about each one of you reaching your kingdom destiny, then it's got to be more, it's got to be about more than likes, right? It's got to be, I got to drink this in. I've got to have this. This is important. No distractions for me today. We let, you know, it used to be when I was growing up, if I looked distracted, the elder or the deacon would come. I'd always be in the back row with my buddies. And if I looked distracted, what they did back then was they came behind and got your ear and pulled it off. Then at the end of the service, you went back and got your ear and put it back on. It's kind of like what Jesus did, you know, in the garden with the guy when Peter slashed off the guy's ear. And that was, you know, an indication to me I was distracted. Now we let the distractions come in with you. You got the iPad, the iPhone, the smartphone, the dumb phone, all the phones. And we let you bring them in right in here. And, you know, you'll be making a tremendous point for God. You know it's Holy Spirit. It's rising up inside of you. It comes out of your mouth. And you look out there and someone's checking to see if they like what you said on Facebook 2 weeks ago. I've got a fresh word for you. Anyway, building your own little kingdom, thinking it is God's kingdom, is deception. That's the worst case scenario, isn't it? It's not necessarily over here if you've chosen this. I choose to be in the kingdom of darkness. You know, there are actually some people that are kind of happy over here. I don't know if you know that. They're happier than some of the people over in this area, maybe over here more. They're not as miserable as these people because they've chosen, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going my way, I'm going the devil's way, I'm going the world's way, I'm going to hell. Hey, let's party when we get there. Now, they're totally deceived and totally wrong and totally off, but they're having a kind of a good time until life starts crashing in on them. Because all those things have consequences. But some are 60 or 70 before they realize they're not supposed to be happy. And all the consequences for all their sin finally catches up with them. But they're kind of happy in this. Some of you are not sure, but I've met them, I know. Not everyone. I'm not saying you should be. I'm just saying they are. Because they've chosen and they're happy with their choice. You talk to them, they don't want Jesus. They want everything for them. Over here, though, the most miserable people are right here. They come in here and they see people fall down and they go, oh, is that for real? Is that supposed to happen? Now, let me just get this straight. An all-powerful God that created everything in 6 days. Just take on one of his to-do lists. One of God's to-do lists. Let's see. Create the world, universe, everything there is in 6 days. Created each one of us. No problem. He's got 700 names to back himself up. And we're going to question him? We're going to say, I don't know, God, I don't know if you love me. When he said he did. He already told you. He already told me. I love you. It doesn't change. I don't go with the wind. I don't have emotions that are up one day and down the other. God doesn't go through any of that. He's what we call immutable. Never changes. Doesn't have a high day, low day, depressed day, happy day. God is happy this morning. He'll be happy all day. He's in complete joy. And he cares about you in every way. But we're going to come over here and question everything about that and say, no, 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 no. I think I've got a better way to live my life. I have a better way to go about this. I can prove it. God doesn't work all the time. He doesn't want to heal me. He doesn't want to bless me. I have some questions about that that God hasn't answered. So it goes something like this. And I wrote this down during worship. It starts out that you have these thoughts running free in your mind. Not that any of you would ever have that happen. Suddenly, doubt comes in. I don't know. Is that really true about all that stuff we're singing? Is that really true he's powerful to knock someone down? Is it really true that he's powerful enough to change my life inside out, upside down, and sideways? A doubt comes in. That doubt turns into unbelief. I don't believe that all of that is real. All that stuff happening, healings. I mean, that little girl came up, you know, and Pastor Mary Pat says, is your leg better? Yes. Well, come on up here, honey. Is your leg better?
Yes.
And some of you are going, right. Come on. She's intimidated by Pastor Mary Pat. Pastor Mary Pat's pushing her. He's controlling her. Her leg probably still feels the same. And then there's those of us that are like, even if she's just speaking it out in faith, that's life for her. And if her leg just happened not to be healed, it will be. Before the day is done. And so the children are laughing about it. But the critics are, I don't know if that exists. I don't know if that's happening. It's called unbelief. That unbelief then turns to lies. You start spreading it. Do you know why you take every, why you're supposed to take every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because those thoughts somehow are connected to your tongue. It's like a connection right here. I don't know if I trust that. Blah, blah, blah. It goes from a thought and it hits your tongue. And your tongue, you know, is a wildfire, according to James. And it just starts. And not good stuff. Much of the time. So why do the thoughts have to be captive? Because the tongue is loose. And it'll be flopping all over the place. A person over here, you know what kind of tongue that they start wagging? Negative. Blame. It's your fault that I'm sinning. Your fault, your fault, your fault. In your fault that I chose to sin. Yours, and yours. And then excuses come off that same tongue from the lies. The excuses come off. Well, you know, I had to do that because of this rationalization, blah, blah, rationalization. I had to. Or, you know, God knows that I'm too weak to face up to anything. You know, just throw out half the Bible right there. Yeah, he knows you're too weak. That's why he provided Holy Spirit for you. You just threw out half the Bible. God knows I'm too weak to handle this. He knows that. That's why he provided 700 names and titles to take care of it all, to make up the difference. The person building their own little kingdom wants to. You want to. You're not a victim so much over here. You might be over here because the enemy's got you completely in his kingdom of darkness and he's the ruler. But over here, you can actually say, oh, Jesus, I received you once. I need to get back to that. But instead, no. I'm going to pick and choose. Lies then goes to complete deception. The person thinks right is wrong and wrong is right. So everything we're doing here at Frontline that they used to enter into, they say is crazy. They say this is the wrong way to go. And they tend to become more Pharisee-like, religious. In fact, they have better rules than you could come up with. They have a huge list to make sure we all are disqualified. They go back to the Old Testament. When you're building your own little kingdom, you go back to OT, Old Testament. And you say, those people at Frontline or that wild Christian, they're not following God. That's not God. That's not the Bible. And they say what is God is not and what is not God is. I think Ozzy Osbourne's fine. He's got deep meaning in his lyrics. You got to just go deep like I do, and you'll see it. Okay, so let's sort this out. My little kingdom. Let's talk about some things. The ruler is me. Who are you serving? Are you listening to the two commandments, serving God with your whole heart, soul, strength, mind, and everything else? And your neighbor is yourself? No, you're serving yourself. Somehow or other, you're serving yourself. When you're asked to do something by kingdom people, you are controlling me, you are pushing me. Why do I have to do that? My time is valuable. I have to do something else. I have to rest. I'm so tired. I'm tired. Did I tell you I was tired? I am really massively tired. People over here are so tired. They are really tired, let me tell you. Worn out. Now, don't take this too personally. If you said that this morning or whatever, you can be tired over here too, but you get quickly energized. You'll get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh my, what was I doing thinking I should answer that text? Just because I heard it go off. You answer it or you call the person or you go and you're with the person, you minister and you're totally exhausted. And suddenly after ministering to them, you want to stay up and take them to breakfast and they're ready to go to bed. What happened? You just stepped into the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, where weariness and tiredness can go out the window. Don't go around saying you're tired. That can be turned around so easily. Exhaustion can be turned around. You just need a little fire of the Holy Spirit to burn that up. Now, the next time you're tired, you can rest. I'm not saying you don't have to go to sleep ever. Just if you're in front line. Okay. My little kingdom, you're overwhelmed with everything over here. Your God is so small because you're kind of sitting on his throne. So you're overwhelmed all the time. You've talked to these people. Every time I look around the room, I feel like somebody's thinking. I'm only looking at them. So that's why I try to scan the whole room so you know that's not what's happening. But the person's overwhelmed. They're always talking about their problems first. Oh, man, you know, this didn't go right this week, and that didn't go right this week, and that didn't. Blah, blah, blah. Now, that doesn't mean you or I stop them in the middle of that and say, hey, you know what? Sounds like you're building your own little kingdom. No, because we all do it. But if it's consistent, if that's all you do when you talk to somebody, go through your litany of problems, you at least have to wonder if you're not a little self-consumed. Because people that are ministering to other people, they're talking about what God has done for those other people. And yeah, oh yeah, and he did this for me this week too. But let me tell you what he did for George. You've got people you're talking about, God's treasure that you've ministered to, that he's used you to help them. I prayed for so-and-so, and you know what? They got healed. They got healed. I ministered so-so, and nothing happened to them. But I believe something will. And I'm part of the process. Woo! The kingdom person, obviously, selfless, an overcomer. Oops. Sorry. Overcomer. That's the mark of their life. Now, does this mean you never can have a bad moment? Of course not. Just don't have a bad day. You shouldn't go around saying, I had a bad day. No, that's impossible. If you're an overcomer, what starts out bad gets some relief, gets some turnaround in a very short amount of time. Most things. Most things. So we should be looking for the turnaround. That's an overcomer. Looking for the turnaround, then it comes. It's true. No matter how you look at me, it's true. I already mentioned this person blames. What's this person doing? Encouraging, giving exhortation. Hey, you can do it. God can do it in you. Just ask Holy Spirit. See what he says. Encouragement, exhortation. You might not even feel like encouraging them. How about that? Raise your hand if you think emotions should run our lives, especially negative emotions. Come on, come on, come on. Raise them up. Not one hand up. Huh. But sometimes we let that happen. And if you ask Holy Spirit, he's going to say, doesn't have to happen. Ever. Doesn't. We're real close to Holy Spirit. Wow. That can get cast down, cast off. This person we already mentioned, miserable. This person, they're going to show a lot of joy. In fact, it's going to drive you nuts. If you're kind of building your own kingdom, that drives you nuts. Somebody's got some joy, and you know maybe some of the things that they're facing. How in the world are they doing that? You know, let me give you a little insider. Okay? Obviously, leaders in the body of Christ get really hit. But that doesn't mean we up the ante with everyone that comes to us and tells us how they're feeling challenged by their circumstances.
People will come and say, I'm struggling with school this semester. Oh my gosh, it's a load. And I don't say to them, you know, there was a time in my life where I struggled with school, and that just seems like nothing now. Absolutely nothing now. Let me tell you what real struggle is. Let me tell you what real challenges are. Don't tell me about that professor that doesn't seem to like you. I'll tell you about an enemy that hates me. No, I'm not called to do that. You know, up the ante with all those people I talk to. I'm called to listen to them. That's a massive challenge. And Jesus listened to some stuff, I'm telling you, from the people, from the disciples. And he didn't say all the time. I mean, eventually he might have had to, but he didn't say all the time, it's okay, I have to go to the cross. Enough. I have to go to the cross. Stop these complaints. I have to go to the cross. He would listen, and then he would give them some kind of parable or some powerful story that didn't smash him in the face all the time. Now, occasionally he had to, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, one of those, but much of the time, he listened to their stuff and then gave them truth. Exhorted them, encouraged them. Even that he was going to leave. He encouraged them. But I'm going to send a gift to you. I'm going to send a gift. I'm going to go, but I'm sending a gift. I'm going to go, but I'm going to send a gift. It's like when your dad or mom goes on a long trip. Don't worry, I'll bring you back a gift. That's how you get that phrase, I got this lousy t-shirt from. That's why Jesus, 2,000 years ago, decided not to give you a t-shirt, but to give you a powerful presence that lives right inside of you when he went to heaven. That you can say, what do you think, Holy Spirit? Well, I think you're being a wonderful nitwit right now. Oh, you laugh. I heard that one yesterday. And I had to preach this morning. But he's gracious and gentle and challenging all at the same time with this still small voice, you know? You know what the worst thing is? I'd rather have someone yell at me when I'm off almost than hear, my beloved son. You are far off the path. You are not in the pasture now. You've stepped in something that is in the pasture. You are not near living water, the stream of living water. You're near the Cuyahoga River. Get back. It might catch on fire. Get back. I would rather have him yell at me than this still small voice all the time, nudging, nudging, nudging. But it's so sweet after a while, you start saying, go ahead, nudge me, Holy Spirit. I need a nudging here. I need a change here. I need. That's repentance. When you want what he has. When those nudgings, you're saying, go ahead, wash me with those nudgings so I'll be refreshed. Change me. Make me different than what I am. The power comes from you, not from me. I can declare, I can make oaths, I can tell my pastor I'm going to do it. And the next minute, I'm denying three times the very name that I'm under in my strength. You know what? He can't wait to restore
when we come to him in such humility and tell him, I can't do this. I'm telling people I can do it and I can't do it. I lied to them, Lord. But I'm not going to lie to you. I can't do it without you. Can't do it without you. You're well on your way to building his kingdom. You're leaving this self-centered, I'm going to have it my way. What do those people know? What does the leadership know? What does God know? He hasn't answered my question, so I'm going to stay confused. Some people are staying confused when they have the truth because they want to. I'm not kidding. They want to. They could meet with one representative of Jesus today and have all their confusion go, and they won't do it. They go out the door with their confusion. Come on. They go out the door without the very truth that could turn it all around from a representative of Jesus, and that might be you. They stay away from you. If they know you have too much truth and too much joy, for sure, they stay away from you. This is serious. Why? Because on Facebook, there are at least two or three people I'm aware of that are living with people outside of marriage, but they put glorious things on Facebook about Jesus. Now, we like what they say, but they're building their own little kingdom while they're saying it. It's grieving. It's grieving to their father. He wants to call them home. Come on home. Come to the real truth. The truth will be free. And they're espousing the truth over here and living the opposite. Now, I suppose someone could say, well, you're judging them. I'm not judging them. God tells us what's good for us in many different ways. Paul lays out those things. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He lays those things out to help a person. If they decide to keep a lifestyle that's against building the kingdom, that person loses. Why wouldn't I be concerned? Why wouldn't you be concerned? And if we get an opportunity, we can speak real life, something that will help them. But if it's just so we look better, that's not going to work, is it? We want Jesus to look better. We want his kingdom to be built. We love his kingdom. We want it built. Again, from Facebook. When a person doesn't fully accept Jesus as the reigning king of the true kingdom, then he demands the release of a Barabbas, a robber, to be part of an inferior little kingdom being built. Is it any wonder that the enemy can steal, kill, and destroy when an inferior kingdom is chosen instead of the abundant life offered by Jesus in the true kingdom? Remember, the Jews rejected the Messiah they had supposedly been waiting to celebrate. We do the same thing if we try to empower our little inferior kingdom to reign over the true kingdom. So you can't just speak truth over here and fool people and think you're building the kingdom of God. No, it doesn't work that way. Oh, yeah, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I really do want Jesus. Yeah, I want Jesus. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Talk is cheap. Any of us can talk big. Peter talked big. The disciples talked big. When it got right down to it, they ran. It showed their real need for the gift that he was going to send to them. So why do we say, have you asked Holy Spirit? What does Holy Spirit have to say about it? Why will we continue to say that even when people say, well, you can boil all of Frontline down to that? Because that's what it's about. It's about the person that he sent inside of us. It should bother the Holy Spirit wrapped around our spirit inside of us. If we're going against something that God says is not good for us. The Father says, he's a perfect Father. When he says something's not good for us, it's not good for us. And it doesn't have to, you know, take the status of a moral failure. It can just take the status of, I'm going to ignore those people that are on fire. I'm going to continue to come to Frontline, but I'm not going to catch that fire because that fire takes too much sacrifice, and I'm not going to do that to me, to my family, to... Well, just let me give you a little tip. It's not Frontline that's asking you for that. You can say no to Frontline anytime. Well, we have this outreach downtown Friday. We get to, you know, minister. You can say no to that, you know, and you walk through the door. We give you hugs. In fact, I don't even take names. I don't have any clue who went to it, who didn't go to it. Sometimes I don't go to it. That's not the point. Am I part of it? Am I praying for it? Am I wanting to be part of something like that, or do I run from it? Got a 3-day fasting time this week. You know, suggested. Do we run from that? Do we hide from that? Do we, oh, that's too much on me. I can't eat. I mean, I can't eat. What about your brothers and sisters that are not eating? Think of them. They're not eating. Trying to press into God. And if you press in with them, there's more unity. And if you press in with them, you're thinking of them more than yourself because you're an encouragement to them. You're an exhortation to them by you doing it with a joyful heart. And you get that from God. You can't legislate that for yourself. But if you run from opportunities like that all the time, I'm just saying, could be a little problem. Now, is it a challenge? Sure it is. What are we supposed to be doing from the front here or as leaders? Making it easy? We already did that. We gave you comfortable seats. Make it easy? We gave you a nice carpet to walk on. And it's not the orange brick road anymore. We even turned up the light so you could get the idea. We're going to turn up the light. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father wants the lights turned up brighter. We want to quit blaming and making excuses. And I know I can make better ones than you. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I can make the best excuses, and I've heard better ones than I can come up with that I can use. It's whether I choose to do that or not. When I do, I'm starting to walk towards my own little kingdom. My own little kingdom where Jesus is in my back pocket. When I need him, I pull him out. Jesus, take care of this problem like a doggone good Bank of America credit card. Only I can't go over the limit with you, can I, Jesus? So doggone, I'm going to sin as much as I can and enjoy this credit card that I have. Oh, by the way, Jesus, I want to do something now. You won't like it. I'm going to put you back here, and I'm going to do something you're not going to like, but I know you'll still be there with me. Enemy empowered. He's winning the war. Oh, wait a minute. That's the kingdom of darkness. Aha. Yes. This actually, you know, flirting with the kingdom of darkness. fiddling around with the kingdom of darkness, the world, the flesh, the devil. Oh, I'll just play around with the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. Jesus, I love you. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of darkness. Why? There's a lot of people singing. Okay, I better. Jesus. Oops. Enemy is done. Conquered. We're just playing it out. We're just putting a squeeze on him. It's a slow squeeze on his throat. That's what we're doing to the enemy. And that kingdom of darkness will be bound forever. We're just putting a slow squeeze on him with Jesus. We've got him by the throat in the true kingdom. He's not the winner. He can barely win a little skirmish with us. Because every time he tries to attack us, we say, I cast that down in the mighty name of Jesus. I say it is not going to be my portion. It's not going to touch me. Now, this could be a little pain in your toe. You don't take it. Don't let him get one toe hold. Nothing. Whatever you feel is not wholeness, you come against him. And don't make him the issue. Say, Jesus is better. He's greater. Whichever way you want to go. You want to talk to the enemy direct and just say, out of here. You have no authority in this place. Go ahead. Or you can say, Jesus, you are so great, I'm not even going to pay attention to this one that you can just, it's no battle for you. You're so powerful, Holy Spirit, you can take him out. So I'm not even going to mention his name. He's just has no influence on my life. Now that's from a little hurt in the toe to emotional problems to cancer. It's no different to God. It's not. So over here, confusions, addictions, negative emotions, stressed out, anger, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness. They're all starting to come against that person. So they're constantly complaining. They're constantly feeling like, oh, overwhelmed all the time. Oh, it's just, oh, yeah, let me tell you my story. And they want to sit you down and they're blah, 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 blah. And you say, well, you know, at a certain point, you get a chance to speak. And you say, but Jesus is here. Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know. No, you don't. If that's what you're saying, no, you don't. And then you've held back, you've listened. Believe me, we listen, and we listen with a true heart. I'm making fun of it now, but it's not funny when it happens. When people have great need, great challenges, and they don't realize they've got a great God. Their God is so small, and you're wanting to say any second, you'd like to burst right out. Your God's too small! That's what's going on here! But you can't. Yet. I mean, you got to hit the right moment. And you probably have to say it a little different way. So the way he uses with me and many of you, because I've heard you share, is testimony. Well, you know, he completely healed me of malaria and my wife, and she was close to death. And then he healed my ankle, and just, you know, he took an ankle that had 3 broken bones, and they said, you need surgery, and I don't need surgery, and because God's, you know, can be a good surgeon. And sometimes you need surgery, and this time I didn't feel like I needed surgery, so I told him I didn't need surgery, and he agreed. And then the doctor prayed for my ankle, and you go on and on and on and on, and then, oh, yeah, and by the way, you know, he gave me this, and he did this for me, and he changed this, and there's abundance. Did I tell you? Oh, there's abundance. Let me go on and tell you how much abundance there is. This church is paid off. How'd that happen? Look at this group. Incredible. I'm not going to sit in the comfortable chairs just because they're comfortable and not go out to the nations. Some people get their church paid off. They go, oh, shoot, God's blessed us. Okay, let's sit here in the blessing. Let's just sit here and stew in the blessing. Oh, no, 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 no. We'll sit in the comfortable chairs and go out and do the amazing mission of God from the soft chairs. We can handle it. We're not going to get too comfortable. We won't let you get too comfortable. You won't let me get too comfortable. When I'm having a tough day on the mission field, so often one of you missionaries will come up to me and tell me how good God is and what he just did for you and what he did for your SWAT, your SEAL group, your, and if you don't know what those are, don't worry, and what he just did to this person or a witch or a warlock or a leper. And suddenly I'm thinking, what was I upset about, down about, shook up about? And I'm on your page. I just don't tell you. Because, you know, I'm supposed to be a leader. So, just to make it worthwhile, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. You say, well, you sure don't share a lot of verses. Okay, I will. You've got me over a barrel. I've got iPhone, iPad, iMic. I've got everything up here. Okay, if someone has that, read it out real loud. Ten, 3-6. Read it loud. Okay, you did well. Thank you. I know it gets good, doesn't it? You just want to keep going. It's all right. I hope each person does the same thing when they get home. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, there's another one of those things. If we just did that. All these lofty things that we think over here, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Bill. He just seems like he's out for the joke. He's not a real serious person. He doesn't care about this. But you know what? You could find 1,001 things about my life that you could criticize, and it still doesn't mean you shouldn't be over here in the kingdom. You know? I'm not the excuse. You can't make me the excuse. I am who I am. I do what I do, but you can't make me the excuse. So you got to cast down all those lofty thoughts you have about, well, God hasn't proven himself to me yet, to me. And yet this is the same person that says, all of you are judging. But they're judging God. He's not proven himself to me, personally, me. God does not have to prove himself. He just needs to exist. That's proof enough for any of us to bend our knee and come before him and say, you not only are my king, you are not only my conqueror, you are not only my master, you allow me to call you friend. There's not just this high lofty, it's an embracing that he does. That's how you know he's really God, because he wouldn't do that. If it were you or me, and we were the ones in charge, we'd have everybody get down there and bow, and we would just stay high. we wouldn't be out there hugging the troops. We'd be giving out orders right and left. Bring me more gold. Bring me more Starbucks. Bring me more. We wouldn't be hugging the troops and saying, you're my friend, because that friend might take my spot. But God's not worried about his spot being taken. This doesn't threaten God. It doesn't threaten him. He is going to remain king no matter what those little kingdoms do. People that want to build their own little kingdom, they're hurting themselves. His heart is wanting to draw them in. He wants you. He wants you to come in closer. I mean, this is like a night and day list. And we haven't even talked about the kingdom of darkness. This is in the church. Is it any wonder why the body of Christ is having a hard time being powerful? So here, we're not going to stop until every one of you is powerful. We're coming after you with his love. Not with a pointing finger, with his powerful love. We're willing to love you closer to his kingdom. We think that's more powerful than standing up here and saying every week, hey, I got a good message for you. Obey. Obey. Oh, by the way, the message next week, obey. Now, I went through a couple of decades with that message, and I happened to be one that kind of decided to listen. But most of the people that were with me aren't there anymore with that message. Why? Is it a bad message? No, it's not. But there needed to be something explained with that message. You can't obey unless you fall in love. If you don't really love Jesus, if you can't speak out of your lips with a sincere heart, I love Jesus, you are nowhere, man. You are over here in that kingdom, I'm telling you. Because it takes risk to speak that out with sincerity of heart. It takes a risk. I love Jesus. I'm going to stand for Jesus. Despite my weaknesses, my faults, my flounders, my failings, my flops, I'm going to stand for Jesus, and he is somehow going to get me there all the way in his kingdom. He's going to build the kingdom through me, and he's going to spread the kingdom as I bless others to be empowered to follow him as well. When I speak, it's life. Why? Because I love Jesus. When you speak and you love Jesus, it's life. When you don't love Jesus, you speak C-R-A. You go ahead and finish. It's the truth. The same stuff you step in out in the pasture. One reason I didn't become a farmer. The hazards. Every thought captive. What's that mean? It's like having this. I was going to forget this. You know I was. I've done that before. Had all the props up here and forgot half of them. Okay. It's like this screen. Please listen to this part. This is the key. This right here. Don't look at the duct tape. This right here is a key to building the kingdom of God. Oh, I kicked my kingdom over here. What happens is there are some people that get this screen.
It's Holy Spirit. What should I do, Holy Spirit? And all the stuff that they try to build their own little kingdom with, it won't go through this screen. I'm telling you, it won't go through this screen. It stays on this side. Do you know what comes through this screen? Holy Spirit inspired stuff. I know that's a real theological term for you. Anything Holy Spirit will come through this screen and build the kingdom of God. Think of this screen as Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit sifting things out. Leaving the tares over here, letting the wheat come over here. You say, is this Jesus? He just talked about it over and over and over again. All the parables. What do you leave over there? And what gets to come over here and build my kingdom? My kingdom, God's kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. What is the kingdom inside of you? Holy Spirit. It's not something you built. He's put it inside of you. And why? So you can screen this stuff out. Any of us. Thank you, sweetie, but your loving name for me is Will. So I'll know you're really onto it when you say Will. Okay, so I'm not going to stop yet then. So let's see. Negative emotions. There have been people putting some things on Facebook about this. See, you got to watch Facebook. Oh, never mind. I don't need to encourage you. Okay, they say, well, depression. Clinical depression. Deep depression. See, they make depression try to look as ugly and big as possible. You put it up against Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, what comes through? What's the only thing that can come through? Does depression come through? Boy, you people are smart. What comes through is joy. It just it's depression filtered. Depression filtered. Now, for the coffee drinkers, you know, you put the grounds in and put the water through, and the good stuff comes through to the pot. Okay? Even Starbucks figured that out. Okay, so you take depression, you put it through Holy Spirit-powered screen, and you end up with building the kingdom. Joy, peace, love in the... I didn't even translate it right, and you got it. Righteousness, joy, what else? Peace, happiness with the joy, yeah. Okay, think of anything. Gossip, will that come through the screen from building our own little kingdom? No, Holy Spirit will go, nip. He'll just nip our tongue, and we'll go, I was gonna talk about that person, but I think I'll just hold back right now because of the power of the Holy Spirit has grabbed my tongue and whipped it around. So I'm going to tell you about that person, but I'm going to tell you that they're going to be a powerful witness for the Holy Spirit one of these days, and I'm going to be there to see it, and I'm going to help with it, and I'm going to encourage them. And they've got a great deal of potential to be a mighty man or woman of God and mean it. So you can imagine why it keeps me up all night talking with Pastor Mary Pat, because she's constantly telling me good things about you people. Okay, I know that. Go to sleep, please. I already know that. Yes, I know they're going to be powerful. Yes, I see that gifting in them. They're going to be wonderful. Yep. I already know that, though. Can we get some sleep so we can enjoy it? Because she has an amazing Holy Spirit screen working for her. It sifts out all the negative things. Isn't that encouraging? What else would be over here? All those things we talked about. In fact, I'm going to look at my list. See which one I want to pick. Blame. Excuses. Do they make it through the screen? Boy, do they hit the screen hard trying to make it through. They're trying to squeeze through the screen. If I can get this excuse across, I'll feel a whole lot better. If I can get this rationalization to go through that screen and still feel like I'm building the kingdom of God, I'm gonna, yeah. They don't make it. They bounce up against the screen and end up on this side. So what comes through? Blessing. So when you say, bless you today, like you did earlier, don't look at that as some small thing. If Holy Spirit's inside of you and he energizes that, don't be too amazed if the person comes back and says, you know what? I had an amazing week. This happened to me, this happened to me, and this happened to me. And you're going, oh, that's really nice. You have to relate it to the fact you spoke life into them. That's your encouragement. You're going to, you know, I'm taking a risk here, but I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out there. There have been a few people in the last few months that I've met with for meals. You know that I consider some of the restaurants in my area, in this area, my offices. I don't have an office here at the church. So those are my offices. So I'll meet with a guy, and we'll sit down. And, you know, I need a job. And he'll go, okay, well, let's pray about that. Okay, yeah, but we go on to other things and talk and talk. Do you know what? Within 48 hours, they get a job after we've prayed for it. Now, do I look at myself and go, oh, wow, got the job anointing. You just pray it into being, man. No, it's all this blessing. Am I willing to share a meal with the person? And God just loves it when I bless them in some way and I pray for their need. And he has just decided to show me he likes it for me. And he definitely shows them that he loves them deeply to take care of that need that's on their mind. Now, they could get all spiritual about it and not even tell me that they have a need for a job. And they could say, well, Pastor Bill, just like Solomon, all I want is wisdom. And that might be okay. And I'd certainly pray for wisdom for them. But he's not upset with us if we want to get with one another and pray about some practical things. And then he just shows us, watch this. 2, 3, 4 people, I'm starting to lose track on how many, after having a meal with me, ended up with a job. I feel like he's actually, the people that have spoken over me and said, you're going to be speaking out life. Those people are really smart. It's happening. God told them to tell me as an encouragement to me. Now, you know, next I'm going to start thinking every person I talk to is going to end up with a bag of gold at their house or something like that. Why not? If it's used for the kingdom, why not? But isn't that interesting? He'll give us little indications like that that we actually are speaking out life if you're willing to do it and not just poo-poo it. Well, I met with him for a meal. What'd you do? Oh, we just talked. No, you didn't. You blessed that person. You prayed for them to get a job, and God gave them a job. Both of you are encouraged. That's what kind of father he is. And we both give him praise and glory and honor for that. What better way to teach somebody that God cares? I can tell them, and I can tell them my own testimonies. But they meet with me or meet with you, and you speak life into them, and it actually shows up in their life. Something they can see. Like Thomas, you know, he goes in, he's a latecomer. Well, you might have thought you saw Jesus. I think he's an imposter until he shows me this scar prints in his hand and where they thrust the spear in his side. I won't believe. Now, Jesus could have said, unbeliever, he's part of the kingdom of himself. I have to prove myself to him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going back there. And instead, he blessed Thomas because he knew Thomas's heart. He knows your heart. You may have stepped into this building your own little kingdom thing, to one degree or another. And I hope some of you that have been building God's kingdom don't take this like, oh, we're all over here now. No, we're not. This is for those that are. And it's for us to see how to help them. Because what's the key to getting the screen in place? Repentance. Oh. That's the other message of the church. Obey, and if you don't obey, repent. Obey, obey, and if you don't obey, repent. Obey, obey, and don't repent. Well, I'm breaking the cycle. Holy Spirit can put the screen in place, and you want the screen in place. It's really what you want. You don't want to build your own little kingdom anymore. Some people still do, by the way. They still will after this message. They're entrenched in their own little kingdom, and they're calling it God. Please don't follow them. You can minister to them, but do not follow them. If you start hearing evidences of them building their own little kingdom come out of their mouth, immediately go into prayer for them in a positive way. You don't need to listen to all that. You need to minister to them and help them see, yes, you really want Holy Spirit screen in place. And maybe they won't listen to you either. They didn't listen to Jesus. He had a deceiver. He had a person that was willing to give him up to the authorities right in his midst. And he still ministered. He still had relationship with that person. So he's going to reach out, you know, to this person, even if they don't listen to you. Quiet. So what puts the screen in place when you truly want it in place? You know, when I said that about Holy Spirit nudging and Holy Spirit, come on, you're adjusting everything in my life. Exactly. Then you go, hey, I want everything in my life adjusted. That's what I told people. I testified that I wanted everything that Jesus had for me and everything that he was, and not the one-third Jesus, the complete Jesus. Saved, healed, delivered, raised from the dead. Oh, that Jesus. The real Jesus. I want all of him. When you want that screen, Holy Spirit's inside of you. If you're a believer, you'll go ahead and put the screen up and it'll screen out all that junk and you'll say, I don't want that. I'm taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I love him. That's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to try to prove I can do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. Holy Spirit can do it in us. That's why we need him to be the screen. That's why we need him to be the power. You can't build the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God. You must be led by the Spirit of God to build the kingdom of God. You can't say, I'm going to do it because I'm such a good Christian, or I'm going to keep as many rules as I possibly can, and that's going to do it. No, it's not. You'll fail in that journey, in that quest. But you get Holy Spirit's screen in place, you're going to be, what's going to come out on the other side is everything that's good towards God. You're going to feel close to God. That's the one thing. Over here, you do not even feel him. You're just trying to convince yourself you do. You're not even connected to him. You're just trying to convince yourself you are, and other people. So you post on Facebook. Or whatever. No, I want him. Yeah, I want him. Yeah. Do you really want Jesus? Yeah, I do. Do you really want to believe him? Oh, yeah. You want to trust him? Oh, sure. But you can't. You're not connected to the source of power. You're not letting the screen be in place so it screens out all the lies and junk, so you're just believing a bunch of it. Any of us can be in that position. But if you want the screen in place, you take the seat with him, you're part of him, he's part of you, you're one with him, he's one with you. You're actually on Jesus' lap. and he's embracing you. Yeah, it's okay to picture it that you've bent your knee to him below the throne, but he won't stay that far from you. He will lift you up from that place and he'll embrace you. Like I said, you can call him Lord and Master and he deserves all of that, but he calls you friend and wants to draw you into a closer and closer relationship. The more you fall in love with him, the more that you'll want the screen in place, you'll want the power of Holy Spirit, you want to build the true kingdom. If you turn it into, I'm going to put my nose on the ground until I'm totally humble, I'm going to put my nose down in that ground, that's not exactly in that sense what he wants for you. He wants to raise you up from that place and have you stand in your sonship and your daughtership. Yes, he wants humility, but he doesn't want your nose on the ground. He wants you looking at him. He wants you to be in relationship with him close, close, close. So if you've not even been asking the questions so that they bounce up against the screen, I think he'll point that out to you. I'm not going to ask that question because I know it'll bounce up against the screen and I know the answer on the other side of it, so I don't even want to ask the question. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. There comes a place where you've reached kind of a plateau. I have gone overseas. I have gone downtown. I have taught. I've been in an uncomfortable place. I've stepped out of my comfort zone. I've done all that for the kingdom. And we want to level out. We think that's what's possible. Okay, I'm just going to kind of cruise now. I've done the stuff. I've done what Frontline talks about. I've fasted. I've prayed while I fasted. I have attended all-nighters where we've prayed, and I didn't fall asleep. I have actually worshiped and danced. I think I've done enough. Now, you don't admit that to yourself, but I think I've done enough. I think I've done enough. I'm just going to level out, level out, level out. You know, let me give you a little tip. There's no leveling out. There is no leveling out. There's more sacrifice, more joy in the sacrifice. There's more empowerment. You say, but that'll take up every spare minute of my time. Really? You really think so? No, you'll have a better use of your time, I bet you. A much better use of your time. You'll cut your Facebook time from 12 hours to 4. Come on. If you are just coasting, you're building your own little kingdom. If you are controlled by someone or something, you're building your own little kingdom. If you are actively pursuing the world, the flesh, the devil, you're building your own little kingdom. If you are overcome by something, or you make something an idol, or someone an idol, or you're overcome by someone, you're building your own little kingdom. If distraction is your norm, forgetfulness about the things of God, you're building your own little kingdom. If you are on a search for personal significance, not finding your significance in Jesus, who is your identity, you're building your own little kingdom. You know, if you're after a position, you can have mine. But you won't want it because you're not the one that's supposed to be in this position. Believe me, I've asked him a million times, why me in this spot? Why? I'm a coward at heart, Lord. Don't you know I'm kind of a person that would be happy to be surrounded by books and a guitar, and I would be as happy as a lark. As long as one of the books is the Bible. Okay, come on. But instead, he calls me to people, to nations. People like you. Calls me to restaurants and golf courses. It's such a, you know, sacrifice that I have to go through for the kingdom. But of course he's going to do more in us than we are. Otherwise we couldn't tell it was him. If you're just going along being you and doing what you can do, you have not experienced the touch of God that he wants to bring to your life. You are supposed to be you super duper. Way beyond. Transformed. You're supposed to be more powerful than you could ever imagine you could come up with if you were at your absolute best. Because he's going to do it in you, with you, through you, for you. And it's about him. And you know it. You know what comes out of your mouth sometimes that brings life to people you didn't come up with. Hey, isn't that a good place to be in? When he says in the New Testament, he'll fill your voice or fill your mouth when you're in front of kings. He'll also fill your mouth when you're in front of a friend. And sometimes you'll wound them, which will be to their benefit. You'll wound them in the spirit. You'll have to tell them something that you don't really want to get into. But you, by the power of God, are able to put it in such embracing, encouraging words that you're kicking them in the teeth and they don't know it. For Jesus. You're able to tell them deep truths that they need to obey while you're loving on them. That's when you know Holy Spirit's involved. Anybody in here could just give a condescending, condemning kind of message to someone. That doesn't take anything. That doesn't take anything. I'm just going to tell them because that's the way I am. I just tell them. You don't think Jesus could have told him a lot more times than he did? He picked his spots where he really let him have it. He could have let him have it at every turn of events. Should we call fire down and burn them up? They don't agree with us. Tell you what, let's not do that this time. Since we're on a loving mission here. You could have body slammed him for that. And he was very gentle. Now, other times he did say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But, you know, it was kind of a, he had to say that in a prophetic way so everybody knew what was going on. I am going to the cross. You, the rest of you, don't even bring it up. And they didn't. Once they saw Peter open his big mouth, the rest of them got it. Okay, we don't tell the boss anything like that. Don't tell the boss he's not going to the cross. No. Father, we thank you, God. You're so good to us. You want to draw us in, correct us, give us that picture of a Holy Spirit screening out all the stuff that would easily come from thoughts that are not captive to you through our tongue wagging along. I'm praying, God, for each one of us, we would come to you with a repentant heart. You say repentance is refreshing, that your kindness brings repentance to our heart. You tell us over and over how good it is for us. Some of us are running from repentance, and it's the best thing for you. It's the doctor's medicine. You need to swallow it. I need to swallow it. Father, we admit it. We need to swallow the medicine of repentance, getting our heart aligned with your heart, admitting to you we fell short, admitting to you we have a lifestyle that we cannot extricate ourselves from. We cannot heal in ourselves. We need you to pull us out of the hole, pull us out of the deep well. We need you. So we repent, we come, we align up with your truth, we align up with your kingdom. We quit trying to build our own little kingdom with excuses, lies that we believe, and blame. And we allow your power to work inside of us, to filter the things out that are not pleasing to you. We give you praise, God. You're the only one that can accomplish it in such sheep as us. We love you for that. We bless you for that. We honor you for that. We trust you. We really trust you. You tell us you're trustworthy. You tell us that you never lie. You tell us that you love us so much and will provide for us. You tell us the truth. Father, use Holy Spirit in us to wrap around our spirits so that we have the power to believe the truth. You are good. 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 You are always good. Father, we need the repetition. We need the declaration. We need the decreeing. And you'll make it real in our lives. You'll make it true for our lives. There'll come a day with the things we've been declaring and decreeing over our lives and allowing people to do that for us and allowing your Spirit to do that for us, that we'll actually become those things. Because your word spoken over us is life. It's life. Thank you, God. You're good. We repent. I repent. Just let it roll over your lips. I repent. I repent. I repent for being such a fool to think I would build even a fraction of my own little kingdom. I want your kingdom. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I repent. It's best for me. I come into alignment with what you have for me. I don't want my own little deal. I want your full kingdom. I want to be where you place me in the body of Christ. I'm not going to try to wiggle my way out and make a finger an eye or make an ear a foot. I'm going to be what you intend for me to be. I'm going to call on Holy Spirit to reveal it to me a step at a time. And if it's too slow, I'm willing, Lord. Because you're working on me. You're preparing me. I don't want to be in a position or a place in the body of Christ where I'm unprepared. You're working in me. And as far as my future, as far as a mate, God, if I'm single, God, I trust you. I trust you. You're an all-powerful God. You can do anything. You can bring that person. I trust you. I trust you. I speak it out. I trust you. I repent for not trusting you. And for thoughts about the spouse I do have, if they're not all honoring to you, knowing you brought the two of us together, I repent. If I've not challenged that person enough, my spouse, I repent. If I've not, by my own lifestyle, been challenging to that wife, that husband, I repent. If I've shot too low, I repent because I'm to be an encouragement and a challenge by the way I go after you, Lord. You're my first love. If I've become too high-minded with those around me because I know something about the prophetic or I know something about Jesus, I repent. If I've been too low-minded, thinking I know nothing, thinking I'm not able to accomplish anything in the body of Christ, I'll just go get depressed. I repent. Thank you, God. You're big enough for it all, with a listening ear for it all. and you embrace us at the end of repentance because we allow you to embrace us. We're not far from you. We're close to you. Repentance brings us closer. Repentance brings us closer. Repentance brings us closer in alignment with you, in heart with you. And of course, we'll see you more clearly. We'll hear you more clearly. Those who have eyes to see, those who have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says. Yes, Lord, I will listen. I will listen. I want to see you more clearly. I want to hear you more clearly. I repent. Oh, it's starting to sound good. I repent. I repent of my excuses. I repent of my blame. I repent for being less than submissive to you, less than submissive to those that care about my life and that you've placed over me in leadership. I repent. I repent. Let your word be on my lips. Let the meditations of your heart be my heart. Purify me, Lord. Purify me, Lord. You have a purifying fire, a wild fire. I receive it. It will do much more in a moment than I could do through my own efforts in a lifetime. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I would encourage you to let that be an ongoing conversation. It doesn't end with the prayer. Just go on with that conversation with the Lord. Lord, I see this in myself. I bring it to you. I repent. Father, I see this in me, Lord. I repent. I see this in me. I repent. An ongoing conversation. And in Acts, it says it'll bring refreshing. Repentance brings refreshing. It shouldn't bring more guilt. It should bring refreshing. The guilt is healed through repentance. The sins have already been taken care of on the cross. You're agreeing with it. You're thankful for it. You're grateful for what he's done. You're more grateful than before you repent. It's a refreshing thing. I'm going to hold on to this habit, this way of doing things, this addiction. That needs repented of. I've been saying this same thing over and over again. It's a lie. You repent of something like that. Things that the Holy Spirit points out. That's that screen. He says, no, 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 no. This isn't good for you. That's when you say, I repent. I don't want to do that anymore. And I can only stop it if I have your power. My hope, my prayer is that every person in here runs to repentance today, but with a smile on your face, knowing he's been waiting for you, and it's going to mean a closer walk with him. Don't go there with fear and trepidation of what he's going to think of you, because he already made that clear. He loves you completely. But don't take that for granted and not go and repent. It should give you the impetus to repent. His love should cause you to repent more often and with an absolute abandonment. Because you know it brings a closer relationship with him. Bless you today. Keep the ongoing conversation going with Holy Spirit. I encourage you to do that.
If you're new today, we welcome you after the fact. And we would love to have your information if you... There are visitor packets out in the foyer, and also we have yellow cards behind each of the chairs. So if you could fill those out and put those in the box on the wall back here, that would be great. And also a word about one of our classes called Glory School. We had our first meeting this week, and there are people, there was a list of people who have not taken the Glory School, and within Frontline Training Center, within each of the schools, all four of the schools, that is a foundational course. That is a required course, if you will. So just really encourage you to check your schedules and see what you can do with that so that you can continue on to build. If you wanted to take something else during this fall semester, which is fine, we will enable you, or you can be enabled to take both Glory School and whatever else you're doing, so they can take them simultaneously. But that's only typically offered once a year, so I just wanted to add my voice on that. And so many of you received an email. Please respond to it and respond to Tom.